one day Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day, and welcome to this very special and slightly different Mother's Day worship service. Very, very glad that you are here today. Mother's Day is celebrated across the world in America and in more than 50 countries, though not all countries celebrate it on the same day. Countries that celebrate Mother's Day like we do here in America on the second Sunday of May include Australia, Denmark, Finland, Italy, Switzerland, Turkey, and Belgium. But if you're like me, your mother is no longer living, and you can't celebrate Mother's Day with your mother. But wait a second. The Apostle Paul tells us that if you're a born-again, blood-bought, blood-washed child of God, you have a mother. New Jerusalem is your mother. Galatians 4:26, the Apostle Paul, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. The Roman Catholic Church lied to you when they said that the Virgin Mary is your mother and the mother of the church, as the Bible teaches no such thing. But as it turns out, born-again believers do have a mother, and that is the New Jerusalem that Revelation 21 says comes down from God out of heaven. This Mother's Day, whether your earthly mother is still with you or not, I would like to bring you a message about the mother you will be with for all eternity, what the Bible calls New Jerusalem. I told you this was going to be a very different type of Mother's Day message. It's a Bible Mother's Day message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here and for everybody who will listen to this broadcast in the archives. We're glad that you woke us up today. We're grateful that you give us work to do. Lord, there was food on my table this morning. Thank you. There are clothes on my back right now. Thank you. There's a roof that you've placed over my head. Thank you. God, we are grateful in the small things. And we're grateful in the big things. We are so grateful for the eternal things. We thank you, God, that you have sealed us onto the day of redemption. What an amazing blessing that is. No other dispensation before or after is sealed and given eternal life. So we thank you, Father God, and we praise you, and we commit this time to you. And Lord, for everybody who's struggling today, everybody who's missing their mother, everybody who maybe there's mothers listening today who have lost the relationship with their children and their children won't be calling today. Lord, we pray that you would comfort those mothers. Father, there are sons and daughters all over the world. This is the very first Mother's Day that they're experiencing without their mother. And we pray that you give much comfort, Lord. And Father God, as we open up your word today, and we see this amazing verse that New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Spoken by the Apostle Paul, he's our apostle. Spoken to church age believers, we're in the church age. We know that this verse is absolute doctrine for us. And what an amazing verse that it is, God, that our heavenly mother, and there is one, there is one. It's New Jerusalem. And so, Father God, I pray that you would give me power to preach and teach this morning. It's going to be part Bible study. It's going to be part sermon. But, Lord, most of all, I just pray that this sermon today would minister on every level to people missing their mothers and mothers missing their children. And for those people who still have their mothers, that they would have a new appreciation that time is short. And people don't stay forever here on this earth. So, Father God, we thank you, we praise you, and we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, everybody. Very glad that you're here today. I'm all revved up and I'm ready to go. And this message, I don't know about you, but before I got saved, I was a lifelong 30-year Roman Catholic. I was baptized into the Catholic faith. I was confirmed in the Catholic faith. I received First Holy Communion. I was an altar boy for a couple of years. I was made to go to Jesuit and Franciscan schools for 12 years. And every step along the way, I was told that Mary is my mother. And imagine my shock and surprise when I got saved and I realized that that was not true. You know what Pope Francis says about Mary? This is what Pope Francis, if you're a Roman Catholic, and we do have a lot of Roman Catholics who tune in, and we're very, very glad that you're here. I'm not against you. I'm for you, and I'm praying for you to get saved. This is what Pope Francis says about Mary from the Bible. Mary, who is a human creature, one of us, reaches eternity in body and soul, said Pope Francis. This is why we invoke her, Mary, as the, quote, gate of heaven, end quote. There she awaits us, just as a mother waits for her children to come home. The Pope said we are like pilgrims on our way to heaven, seeing that in paradise, together with Christ, who is the new Adam, and that's true, there is also her, Mary, the new Eve. That's not true. And Pope Francis says that gives us comfort and hope in our pilgrimage down here. Now, if you're a Roman Catholic today, I don't want to burst your bubble. I really don't. But what I want to do is to replace the lie that you've been told with Bible truth. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Turn to Mark chapter 6. And I want to show you the six other children of the Virgin Mary. She didn't stay virgin for all that long. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? And they go on. Is not this the carpenter? We know that Jesus was a carpenter. The son of Mary? He absolutely was the human son of Mary. The brother of James? Whoa, 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 whoa. Jesus had a brother, a half-brother? Yeah, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. He had four half-brothers. And are not his sisters, plural, two? Could be more than two, but certainly no less than two. And I love the fact that when you look at the idea that Mary had seven children, one of them was the Son of God and the other six were her children with Joseph. And then you look at the 6 days of creation and God resting on the seventh day. Well, and you look at what happened in Acts chapter 1 and what happened 6 chapters later, that 1 plus 6 kind of follows all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So we understand that Mary did not stop having children with Jesus. She had James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and then 2 daughters, making a total of 7 children. And what was the reaction to the people in the day of Jesus Christ? And they were offended at him. When you tell people this today, when you tell people that Mary had 6 other kids, they get highly offended. Turn to Psalm chapter 69, verse 8. I told you, this is going to be, today is going to be part Bible study, part sermon. Psalm 69, and let's look at verses 7 through 9. Psalm 69, verses 7 through 9. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face, I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my, underline it, mark it down, highlight it, put an asterisk next to it, and an alien unto my mother's children. Look at the next verse. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Oh boy. Isn't that what Jesus says in the New Testament? For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. That is Jesus Christ as the Lamb slain before God. Turn to John 2:17. John 2:17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. So we understand that in Psalm 69, verses 7 through 9, that's talking about Jesus Christ. And we understand in Mark 6, 3, that Mary had 6 other children besides Jesus Christ. Is Mary the eternal virgin? No, she's not. Is Mary your mother? Not if you're born again. She's not. We have a mother. New Jerusalem. And I want you to pray for me today that the Lord would allow me to give the message that's in my heart that I studied for. Because this today we're going to touch on a whole bunch of different topics. But at the center of it is going to be Paul saying that if you're a born again Christian, that you have a mother, and that mother is New Jerusalem. Very, very glad that you're here today. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be going over our prayer list. We have so much to pray for today. So if you're listening and you're in the chat room, please post your praise report or prayer request, and Lori will grab that and add that to the list. And if you're listening and you are not in the chat room, and sometimes people say, I went to your website, I couldn't find it. Well, we've made it real easy for you. Just go to ntebradio.com. That's ntebradio.com, and you'll be in the chat room.
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful followers
and leadeth me.
And when my path's gone,
honest with yourself, that soldier was you. Jesus went to the cross to pay for your sins in his own body with his own blood on the tree. That's what he did. You know, in Genesis, the first time that we hear about a mother, the very first time that we hear about a mother is in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So the first time we hear about anybody's mother, it's a man growing up and leaving his father and leaving his mother. That's how it starts in the book of Genesis. But then the last time that we hear about somebody's mother, in Revelation chapter 21, it says New Jerusalem. But when we apply Galatians 4:26, we understand that New Jerusalem is our mother. And that's the topic of my sermon today. But the very first time that we read about anybody's mother, it's a mother whose son is growing up and leaving her. And the very last time in the Bible that we read about anybody's mother, Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And then you go to Galatians 4:26, and Paul says, "But Jerusalem, which is above, New Jerusalem, is free, which is the mother of us all." So the very first time that you read about a mother in the Bible, her son is leaving her. And the very last time that you read about a mother in the Bible, which is in the book of Revelation, the children are coming home. And isn't that just like God? He ends the book with a happy ending. You know, when you go to the movies or you read a novel, everybody wants to have the happy ending. Everybody wants everything to work out when everything is said and done. Everybody's looking for that happy ending. Where do they get that idea from? They get that idea from the book of Revelation. They get that idea from the Bible. How does the Bible end? Look at verse 3 and 4 of Revelation 21. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Welcome to your happy ending. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." How many times have you heard people talk about the book of Revelation? And it's this really hard to understand book. It's apocryphal. You know, the scholars like to use words like apocryphal. It's mysterious. Nobody knows what it says. That's not true. That's totally not true. The words of the book of Revelation are true and faithful. Does that sound dark and mysterious to you? True and faithful sounds pretty easy to wrap my head around. And verse 6 says, "And he said unto me, It is done, finished, over. We're at the end. We're at the happy ending. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, Genesis, the last, Revelation, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." You remember back in the book of Genesis, where God said that they may freely eat of the fruits of the trees. They were given freedom back in the book of Genesis. They lost it. And in the happy ending, it is given free once again. I don't want to get into too much of my message, but I am, like I said, I am filled today. I am filled today to overflowing. And just pray for me that that the Lord will let the words that are in my head come out of my mouth, because I think it's going to be a blessing for you today. Wherever you are in your life today, we all want that happy ending, don't we? I know I do. And that's exactly the way that the Bible ends. You know, the Bible talks about murder, rape, incest, idolatry, demonic beings, devils, Satan, Lucifer, Molech. It talks about some scary, scary, scary stuff. But it doesn't leave you there. It takes you all the way through to the happy ending. And Jesus Christ says, come and drink freely of the fountain of the water of life. You and I who are saved today, that's the message that we have for a lost and dying world. It's the greatest message ever. And the best thing that you can give somebody is a happy ending, I believe. But the only happy ending that there is salvation in Jesus Christ, who will give us all things freely. That's the type of happy ending I want today, and I hope that's where you're at as well. One more song, and we're going to get started. We're going to pray today. There is so much to pray for. There are so many needs, and we're going to, as a church family, I'll say it again, we are not a church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And it is an honor and a privilege for us to gather together and to come and storm the throne room and to bring our prayers and praise and petitions with thanksgiving before the Lord. That's the greatest power that we have, is the power of prayer. We are not a church. We are the church. The redeemed body of Christ. Amen. That's me and you.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us, it's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you.
Are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love, our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church.
There are no stars if you are broken.
Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, always be grateful when you pray, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we have a full list today. And I'm so glad that you have made us a praying people. I am so glad that we can come together, Lord, and we can have a list that is this large, and people on the other end, wherever they're listening, they're actually praying, God. And we're so glad and so thankful, Lord, that we have this power that you've given us, this power of prayer. And today we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs. We pray for Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark. We pray for Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, Trevor, Derek, Adam, Roland Carrier, and their families. We pray for Jordan. We pray for my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David. We pray for Jesse and his mom up in Maine to get saved. Rachel's dad, Ralph. Unsaved Catholic family members of the Bolton family. Colby Bohan needs to get saved. Jordan Shapiro needs to get saved. David Peck, salvation. Susan Weir's Bicky is praying for her whole family. Her daughters, Valerie and Marie, and her son and husband, both named Greg. Kentucky Jeffrey he's praying for Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, and grandsons, Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jay and Bob from Wisconsin asking prayers for unsaved Catholic family members. Danielle, she needs to get saved. Connie has three kids, they need to get saved. Joshua Gaskins would like salvation prayers for friends Stephanie and Michael and for Uncle Steve. His father-in-law, Tony Barcina, he prayed to get saved a couple of weeks ago. Now we got to pray for Stephanie, Michael, and Uncle Steve. Tulip, who is a middle-aged gypsy living in Turkey, she needs to get saved. Brandy is asking prayers for her family salvation. Rita in Colorado, she's praying for Dan. Two men named Ron, they need to get saved. Spray of Sunshine is praying for her sons, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon's praying for Lori W. and Brian M. Patrick needs to get saved. Rick Dotson needs to get saved. David Lacker needs to get saved. Barbara is praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandela, transgender. Nicole Zimmer, prayers for salvation for her best friends and her family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne is praying for Barry, Terry, Alan, Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen is praying for salvation for children Jason and Tiffany, and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara wants her son Jody to get saved. Mark Sherlock, praying for 4-year-old Savannah and her mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes, salvation for friends Bob and Abby. Nancy is praying for Brandon and Michelle to get saved. Jill is praying for her husband Jerome and son and daughter to get saved. Kathy Hughes' son, he needs to get saved. Haley C. is praying for Zane, who's a Jehovah's Witness. Lulu asking for prayers for unsaved family members. Annetta needs to get saved. Miles and his family need to get saved. The Giacomino family, salvation for their children, siblings, and grandkids. Dawn D., salvation prayers for David. He's a Catholic, but he knows the truth about the mark of the beast. Amen. That's a step in the right direction. Paul Caulfield, salvation for his father Fred and sister Susan, and for his wife Peggy's brother Frank. Karen F. in Alabama, prayers for salvation and healing from cancer. Ramona Hayes, asking prayers for daughter Kimberly to be saved and delivered from alcoholism. God delivered me from alcoholism. haven't had a drink in years. And he can do the same for Kimberly. Also, salvation prayers for the Hayes grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda. Patrick, salvation prayers for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea B. is praying for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Suzanne Wood, salvation prayers for her neighbors and friends. You know, the best way for your friends and neighbors to get saved is for you to give them a gospel tract. That's the best way. We're very happy to pray for them. But if you have friends and neighbors and co-workers that need to get saved, well, if God put it on your heart, put some gospel tracts in your pocket and go to work. Adam would like salvation prayers for his wife, Shayna. Lori B. needs to get saved. Shira McPherson, please pray for my son, Scott, and my daughter, Nicole, who is saved but backslidden. Lori Ann's grandfather, Irvin. Cheryl and Mark Fennell need salvation. Kevin Thompson is also asking for salvation prayers for friends and loved ones. And please pray that God would put on Kevin's heart to be a bold witness and give him power to share the gospel. Steve Graves needs to get saved. Elga needs to get saved. We are still praying for the Ukrainian and Russian people. I have an update about that in just a minute, but we are still praying for many people in the Ukraine and in Russia to get saved. Rob is asking for salvation prayers for his three children, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Hollywood actor and my former co-worker, Matt Dillon, needs to be saved. Phyllis T. is asking for salvation prayers for her husband. Retired Captain Brian A. Robbins, he's a U.S. Navy SEAL, and thank you for your service. His daughter, Summer, is adamant that he get saved. Todd Broom's brother, Thad, for salvation. Marie's friends, family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy for salvation. Adam and Katie are asking salvation prayers for parents, sisters, brother-in-law, nieces, and nephews. Gary Tatterson is asking for salvation prayers for his parents, his brother Jeff, and cousin. Joe Russiello asking for salvation prayers for his mother, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen would like salvation prayers for grandsons Braden and Logan. His Grace would like salvation prayers for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason, Rachel, Jason, and Carrie. Lola's son William and his wife Lindsay, they need to get saved. Hannah's mom needs to get saved. Bruce Bridges would like salvation prayers for his two exchange students, Elena and Malena, from Italy and Spain, respectively. Anja, salvation prayers for Hanu, Charles, John, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans, water dog in the chat room, is asking salvation prayers for his friend Taylor, an atheist. Viviana, asking for salvation prayers for her brother Javier Reyes. My childhood friend Scott Thaler needs to be saved. Joshua Gaskins would like salvation prayer for Wyman Guthrie and his wife. Miss Kathy says sister-in-law Andrea is still battling COVID and has COPD. Harmon's son Michael is battling pancreatic cancer. Chuck Price, he's praying for a brother who has terminal cancer that the Lord would give him a testimony before he goes. Dawn Martin, best friend's stepbrother Toby, is in a coma. He needs to get saved. Cody Baker's dad has leukemia. He needs your prayer. Suzanne would like prayers for her friend Rich's daughter who has cancer and she's in hospice. She's a believer. Pray that God would give her comfort and a testimony. Karen from Alabama is an unsaved Catholic with lymph node cancer. Karen B., chronically ill with kidney failure, she needs prayer. Pam is battling glaucoma. Patty's husband, Jerry, has cancer and needs your prayer. Katrina, a 25-year-old wife and mother, has been diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer. She needs prayer. Tom is a 53-year-old man with spina bifida, When he was born, his parents were told that he wouldn't live for more than 7 days. That was 53 years ago. Looks like God overruled the doctors. Now, Tom has had a tracheostomy, and he's had a tube in his throat for 6 years. And Tom is asking if you would pray for him that that tube could be taken out so he can go back to church with his family. Man, I hope God answers that prayer. I know God will answer that prayer. Please pray for Tom with spina bifida. He just wants to get back to church. Lord, remove that tube from his throat, please. In Jesus' name. Bonnie Chadwell, cousin Doug, just found out that he had prostate cancer. Penny LaSalle's mother, Linda, she's in hospice care. Prayers for Penny, for her mom, Linda. And if you've ever dealt with hospice care with the family, as I have multiple times, it can be it can be like a reality show. And there is drama in Penny's family. So please pray that the Lord would rule and overrule in that situation. Suzanne Smith, she is still suffering from a back injury. She needs prayer. Patty D's son is battling pornography. Tanya Albanese, nephew Zach, is homeless. Char's husband needs prayer for chronic back pain. I've been asking for prayer for my son Calvin, that God would get a hold of his heart. Kathy Giacomino, prayers for these family members who are saved, that they would get on fire for God. Tammy, Pedro, Parker, Caden, Stephanie, Steve, Owen, and Ian. Danielle and Charlene have a huge financial burden and are asking that prayers would be made so that burden would be taken off of them. Joshua Gaskin's co-worker's 14-year-old daughter battling suicidal thoughts. She needs much prayer. Childhood friend of mine, Greg Kellogg, kidney and heart problems, needs your prayer. Ryan is asking prayers for his brother, Brennan. Brennan is saved but struggling with addiction. Lulu's daughter, Linda, she has diabetes and other stomach issues. She needs your prayers. Joe Rusiello, please pray for my wife and her walk with the Lord. Jackie H., asking for the Lord to intervene in a matter with her son. Patty Dickerson is asking prayers that she'd be able to keep her driver's license. Mary Jane is asking prayers for her sister, Rianne. Rianne is a mother and grandmother who has decided that she's really supposed to be a man, and she's begun the transition. Just pray that she'll be able to recover herself and to be able to get back on a right footing with the Lord. Christy in Florida has vertigo, needs a healing. Derek O'Reilly in Dublin, asking for prayers that God would have mercy on him and his mother, Patricia, to keep their faith strong in these last days. Marie Comfort's friend, Cora, needs prayers for healing. Daniel and Charlene Spears need prayers for God's will to speedily deliver them from a financial hardship. Donna Rogers needs prayer for her health and spiritual attacks. Gail Burge is asking prayers for her daughter who has an eating disorder and her weight is dangerously low. Jay from Wisconsin needs prayers for two medical problems. Alicia Smith has health-related issues. Tara Brown and her family in the Dominican Republic, they've been going through some trouble, man, and they need your help and they need your prayers. And they need God to step in and do something. They were lied to by their pastor. And they left America and went to a new country. And it's not been working out so good. So please keep the Brown family in your prayers. Char is asking prayers for her stepson who has a form of epilepsy. Chelsea B. is asking prayers that God would help her to sell her house. People with an unspoken prayer today. Elizabeth, Chelsea, Little Toe, Rachel, Katie, Carol, someone else named Rachel, Leroy, Joyce, Lorianne, and me. I have an unspoken prayer this morning. Please remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastors Johnry, Danny, and Arnell, and I have an update about that. Pastor Fojon in Vietnam, Luann in Turkey. She's an American missionary from Sarasota. Please remember our free Bible and gospel tract program. Remember our NTEB street preachers, Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle in Baton Rouge, Joshua in Virginia. In Canada, we have Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Greg Scott, Jeffrey Sapasinik, Adrian Breda. In Philadelphia, we have Marie. In South Africa, we have Arthur and Jennifer. Joe Rusiello, he's street preaching in Eagle Pass. And Mike Avram is a trucker who is leaving Bibles at truck stops. And please keep Charlton in your prayers as God continues to deal with him about ministry. And that is never something to be entered into quickly, easily, or lightly. If you feel that God is leading you into ministry, take your time, go very, very slow, make sure it's God that's leading you and not the other guy. When God called me to ministry, to be a street preacher, I waited on that for almost a year before I moved on it. I was not being disobedient to the Lord. I was waiting upon the Lord to make sure that that's what he called me to do. And if you think you're being called into ministry, well, praise God. I think that's great. Just make sure it's God that has called you. Take your time. Take your time with that call. Don't rush into it. But then, after you get the confirmation, then give it everything you got. Chelsea B., friend Stephanie, healed from shoulder injury, and her friend Allison's back pain has gotten much better. That's a praise report. Marie Comfort has a new doctor and received a good report from the doctor as well. She is thankful for all the prayers and looking forward to the camp meeting. I can't wait to spend some time with my dear sister Marie Comfort. Very much looking forward to that. Karen says, good morning, everybody. Please pray for me and my family as this is a very difficult day for me, Mother's Day, due to family strife and separation that is dysfunctional. And I believe there'll be something in today's message that will give you hope and comfort. Jeanette, praise report. God answered our prayers about getting me another caregiver. She will be working one day a week to relieve my daughter on Sundays. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Rapture 57. My mother is Catholic and have never heard her say anything about Jesus, but she seems to compare him to being a good person along with Buddha and others. That's the classic cop-out. And there's a lot of people who think that Jesus was a good person. But what did Jesus say when the rich ruler called him good? He said, why call thee me good? There is only one good, that is God. And I kind of mangled that verse a little bit, but you get the idea. Jesus said, what are you calling me good for? Only God is good. Amen. Update on the 15-year-old boy who attempted suicide by overdose. He is off of the ventilator and slowly coming around and will be in a program for about 10 days. So please keep that young 15-year-old boy in your prayers. We live in a day and age where social media is driving people literally to the brink of death. Jeff in Kentucky, please pray for my wife's mother who is lost and with a man who is truly lost and on drugs, and her sister that is in that same situation. Amen. That's a bad one. Giacomino, praise report. I'm halfway through my radiation therapy, and the only side effect is extreme fatigue. Thank you, Lord Jesus, the great physician, and thank you to my NTEB family. Amen. Archie says, unspoken prayer request for me and salvation for my daughter's fiancé. Joshua Gaskins, praise report. God has been working on my father-in-law Tony's heart and mind and his strength against the fight of alcoholism. He said yesterday his cravings are dissipating. And Tony, if you're listening, we are all praying for you. You can do it. Absolutely. There is no question. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And if God did it for me, he took my cravings away. He actually did it for me. So there is hope for you, and he will do it. You just cast all your care upon Jesus Christ, and we are praying for you, Tony Barcina. Gary, praise report. My daughter found a good used car to drive. I want to thank everybody so much for their prayers. Amen. Shannon says, please pray for me and for the entire NTEB team that the Holy Spirit continues to give boldness and strength. Amen. Amen. Mia in Texas, she needs your prayers. My court date, May 12th, for my mom's estate. I need God's favor. And we are going to be praying to the God that rules and overrules in favor of his children. Amen. Julia, please pray for my mom with a leaky heart valve. Rapture 57, please pray for Joshua, Isaiah, and Micaiah. Aunt Nancy, praise report. My son Brad remains alcohol-free a year and a half this month on the 13th. Amen to that. And Tony Barcina, if you're listening, there, her son Brad, alcohol-free for a year and a half. You can do it. And Aunt Nancy, that is a great praise report. Father God, Father God, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord, we need you today more than ever. Your word says, Lord, that we should be careful and anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests known unto you, Lord. And this morning, we come together as a church family. We are not a church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And Father God, I ask you to hear these prayers. Wash us clean in your shed blood today. Lord, we need that shower on a daily basis. And we just pray, Lord, for everybody who needs to get saved. Over 100 people on that list. And Lord, we pray that those names would start moving to the praise report column. And we just pray for everybody who is battling a sickness and battling a disease, an illness, an injury, an overdose, alcohol, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, whatever it may be, give us the victory today, God. For those that need a financial burden taken off of them, take it off them, God. For those people who need employment, for relationships that need to be reconciled, Lord, you've given us the ministry of reconciliation. And Father God, we ask you to step into all of these things. Mia in Texas needs a judge to rule in her favor, as does Jackie H. in New Mexico. And Lord, you are the righteous judge and Jesus Christ our advocate. We ask you to step in. And we'll accept your ruling, Lord. Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, give us power, Lord, to share your word and to be witnesses of your resurrection on the third day, according to the scriptures. And Lord, let us take our eyes off the world, even if it's just for a little while today, and put our eyes upon you. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, open your Bibles. Get Galatians chapter 4 in one hand and get Revelation 21 in the other hand. And today I want to bring you a message about New Jerusalem being the mother of us all. Now, before we do, just want to remind you that the camp meeting, Friday is free and Sunday is free, but Saturday, that's an expensive day. It costs us about $12,000 to put on the camp meeting. We don't make a penny off of the camp meeting, but that's the day you have to pay for. So if you're interested in coming to the camp meeting, you need to go to BibleBeliever.com and you need to sign up and you need to register and you need to pay because the camp meeting is expensive, but it's well worth it. And if you're thinking of coming, please go to BibleBeliever.com, click on the link for the camp meeting, and register. And we do have a pricing structure. We give a discount for teenagers. We give a discount for senior citizens, and everybody else pays full price. But please go to BibleBeliever.com and register. Camp meeting. It's less than 2 weeks away. Can you believe that? Less than 2 weeks away. And if you can't come, please pray that God would do something and really give us something special this year, just like he gave us something special last year as well. And thank you very, very much for praying for the camp meeting. Also, I did this story a couple of days ago. We are so excited. So very excited. Now the end begins. Paid for 12,000 Ukrainian New Testaments to be sent to pastors and Ukrainian nationals in Poland. We have sent 12,000 Ukrainian New Testaments to pastors and missionaries in Poland. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about how God is using Now the End Begins in such a mighty, mighty way. Remember at the start of this year, I was talking about how great it would be, how great that it would be if we could just do as many Bibles as we did last year. And now we raised it to, well, maybe we can do 30,000. In another month, we're going to be past 30,000 and the year will only be half gone. We can do 50,000 easily. And I can't even believe that I'm saying that, but that's the trajectory that we appear to be on. I was beyond shocked that we did 11,411 Bibles last year. And we're almost at 30,000 now. Sometime this month, we're going to hit 30,000 Bibles. And we'll still have 6 more months left to go. So I don't know about you, but to me, that's a miracle. To me, that blows my mind. That God would use us at that level. So please, pray about becoming a part of our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. We are sending Bibles out to 30 different countries around the world. And now we are looking at how do we get Bibles to the people in Russia. Yeah, we're working on that too. But we finally found a way to get them to people in Ukraine. Now we're working on people in Russia, and I had a brother contact me a couple of days ago wanting to know if we would be willing to partner with them to send more Bibles to the Philippines. So this week coming up, we are going to be sending cases and cases and cases of Bibles to our pastors in the Philippines. And it's all possible because you pray for this program and you donate to this ministry. That's the only way that we can do this. It all happens because we all do it together. So please pray about donating to our free Bible and Gospel Tract program. And if God puts it on your heart to donate, please be as generous as you possibly can be. People are waiting for those Bibles. And it is an honor and a privilege to be used of God to get those Bibles to 30 different countries. Think about that. Blows my mind. All right, Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And oh, just one more note. Today is Mother's Day. No Bible study tonight. Everybody take tonight and spend it with your family. Doesn't matter if your family is intact, if it's a nuclear family, if it's a blended family, if it's a broken family, whatever type of family that you have, take tonight and spend it with your family. And so we will be taking the night off tonight, no Bible study, and we'll be hitting the ground hard at noon Eastern time tomorrow with our Prophecy News podcast. So I'm giving everybody the night off. Go spend it with your family. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. A lot of people didn't know I had, when I published the program last night, I had a lot of people contacting me. I had no idea that that verse was in the Bible. What does it mean? Well, let's take a look. Let's compare Scripture with Scripture. Galatians chapter 4. Let's get the context. Let's start in verse 21. And let's go all the way down to verse 28. Galatians chapter 4, 21 through 28. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman, Ishmael, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman, he's the son of Sarah, was by promise. So Paul is giving us these two things that he is comparing to each other. He is comparing Hagar, the bondwoman, with Sarah, the free woman. He is comparing Ishmael, the child of the bondwoman, with Isaac, the child of the free woman. And he says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? That's kind of like a parable, kind of. For these are the two covenants. What two covenants? Old Testament, New Testament. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar, or Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. So what is Paul saying in Galatians 4:25? He's talking about graphical locations, geographical locations. He's talking about Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, Mount Sinai in Arabia, and then Jerusalem, which now is, that's the earthly Jerusalem, and is in bondage with her children. Romans chapter 8 shows you about all creation being in bondage, and it desires to be set free. But then Paul, in verse 26, he kind of throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing. But Jerusalem, which is above what? Above the earth? Above the heaven? As far as you can go. Galatians 4:26, but Jerusalem, which is above, not the earthly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. What all? The church? What is the church made up of? Jews and Gentiles, Old and New Testament, two covenants, and we are put into one body, which is the body of Christ. Doesn't Paul say that in the body of Christ there is neither male nor female, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither Jew nor Greek? For we are all one in the body of Christ. Isn't that what the Bible says? So Paul is saying that if you're part of the body of Christ, we have a mother, which is the Jerusalem that is way above everything else. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. verse 27 says, "For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which has an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." Do you realize that when you're part of the body of Christ, you are the children of promise? Turn back to Galatians chapter 3. Turn back to Galatians chapter 3, and I want to expand on this just a little bit. We got to put some meat on the bones. So, when we get to Revelation 21, you're really going to understand what this new Jerusalem is all about and why it's new and why it's in heaven and why it's our mother. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Stop right there. We live in the South. In fact, Florida is the southernmost point of America. You can't get any more southern than the state of Florida, at least from a geographical perspective. And down here in the South, you constantly hear phrases like, "Well, bless your heart." "Isn't that sweet?" "We are all God's children." I hear people say that all the time down here. But Paul says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." That means that if you're born again and you have a friend who's not, you are a child of God and they are not a child of God. The biblical definition for being considered a child of God is faith in Christ Jesus, saving faith. If you haven't become born again, if you remember what Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus turns to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What is Jesus talking about? Go to Genesis chapter 5 and look at verse 3. Genesis 5:3. "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth." Do you realize that just two chapters earlier, God cursed Adam, he cursed Eve, he cursed the serpent, and then he cursed the ground. And these are the children that Adam conceived in his own image. And that's why the Bible says that ye must be born again. So back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye just like Isaac. Ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." Now, turn back to Galatians chapter 4, and I told you that this is part sermon, part Bible study. Galatians chapter 4, now you see that when you become born again, you are placed into the body of Christ and you have now become a child of promise. Galatians 4:28. "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was," what was Isaac? He was the seed of Abraham. And I just read to you the verse that says, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." you will also make note of the fact that Abraham lived before Moses. Abraham and Isaac lived before the giving of the law. Born-again Christians are not figured with Moses. We are not under the law. We are figured with righteous Abraham, and we are considered the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll get to the preaching in just a minute, but we got to set the table here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, shows you that there are three classifications of human beings on the face of this earth. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham is figured with the African nations. Shem is figured with the Asian Oriental nations. And Japheth is figured with the Caucasian nations. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see three classifications of people. And if you're making notes in your Bible, you can make the note that there are only three groups of people in the entire world according to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 10:32, Paul says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews," that's one group, "nor to the Gentiles," that's the second group, "nor to the church of God," that's the third group. And you're going to want to remember these things as we turn to Revelation chapter 21. Turn there now. And now that we've set the table and you understand that if you're born again, whether you're a born-again Jew or a born-again Gentile, whether you're male or female, whether you're bond or free, Paul says we are all one in the body of Christ. But there are three classifications of people: the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God. And this is exactly what you're going to see in Revelation chapter 21. Let's read verses 1 through 4. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." That's the third thing. The first thing John sees is the new heaven. The second thing John sees is a new earth. And the third thing that John sees is the holy city, New Jerusalem. Remember I told you to make a note about 1 Corinthians 10:32, about the three classifications of people: Jews, Gentiles, and the body of Christ? Revelation 21:1. John sees a new heaven. That's for the Gentiles. John sees a new earth. That's for the Jews. And then John sees the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, if you've ever spent any time at all in the book of Revelation, you know that just two chapters earlier, in Revelation 19, verse 7, Revelation 19, 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife," that's us, "hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." So the bride is made up of saints who have the righteousness of Jesus Christ and are wearing fine linen, clean and white. Verse 9 says, And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. We had a Bible study a couple of weeks ago where we showed you how when God wanted to make a bride for Adam, he took a rib out of Adam's body and he made a bride for Adam. And when God wants to give a bride to his son Jesus Christ, where is he going to find that bride? Well, if Adam is the first Adam and Jesus is the last Adam, and if Adam's bride came from his body, then the bride of Jesus Christ has to come from his body. And this is why in Ephesians chapter 5, we read where Paul is showing you that the marriage of a man to a woman typifies our relationship to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And all through the writings of the Apostle Paul, he shows you that when a husband and wife are joined together in marriage, it is exactly like what happens when we become born again and we are put into the body of Christ. Ephesians 5:30 says, For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. That's the first time we read about somebody's mother in the Bible. And Ephesians 5:31 shows you a man leaving his mother and being joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Paul says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, when you get to Revelation 21, just like in Genesis, we saw children leaving their mother to be married. In Revelation 21, we see married children coming back to their mother, which is New Jerusalem. This is the happy ending that we were talking about at the start of this service today. 2 Corinthians 11:2 shows you the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian people, talking to born-again believers. 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul says, For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What does that mean? Look at that word espoused. E-S-P-O-U-S-E-D. Espoused. When you get married, your wife is called your spouse. When you get married, your husband is called your spouse. If you are espousing somebody to somebody else, you are talking about a marriage. And in 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul talking to the Corinthian people, I, Paul, have espoused you, born-again believers, to one husband, Jesus Christ, that I may present you as a chaste virgin, singular. The body of Christ is made up of hundreds of millions of born-again believers, maybe even over a billion born-again believers over the last 2,000 years. But Paul says we are not chaste virgins, plural, chaste virgin, singular, because we are one body, and that is the body of Christ. Now, this is something that Paul says repeatedly. You don't have to write these down, but Romans 12:4, For as we have many members in one body, and all members are not the same office. Romans 12:5, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 12:20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. Ephesians 2:16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So, are you starting to see now what the body of Christ truly, really, and actually is all about? We are the bride of Christ. Now, if you spend any time on that wasteland known as social media, you will see people argue all day and all night about who's the body of Christ, who's the bride of Christ. Somebody sent me a sermon from a Baptist preacher, and I actually forget the name of the preacher and I forget the name of the church. But the message was pretty good, right up to the moment that this fundamental Baptist preacher, who had a huge sign on his back wall talking about rightly dividing, he wanted to impart this amazing revelation to his followers, and he attempted to show them that the bride of Jesus Christ is a city, New Jerusalem. And that's partially true, but mostly false. I'm going to show you why the Apostle John shows you the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem. I'm going to show you why that Baptist preacher, he made that, I won't call it false doctrine, I'll call that wrong doctrine. But that is something that you hear from a lot of different people, that the church is not the bride of Christ. New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 21, and I'm almost set to start preaching, but we really have to set the table here. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven, Gentiles, and a new earth, Jews. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, that's for the church, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, if you take the Bible literally, as I like to take the Bible literally, John does not say that New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. He does not say that at all. He said that New Jerusalem is prepared as a bride. It is not the bride, but it is prepared as the bride. This is a metaphor. This is a simile. It might possibly even be an allegory, but I think that you get the idea. Revelation does not say that New Jerusalem is the bride, but that it is prepared as a bride. And there's a reason, there's a very, very good reason why John says that. Turn to John chapter 14. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 14. And let's take a look at one of the most well-known passages for any Christian anywhere in the Bible. And let's look at verses 1 through 6. John 14, verses 1 through 6. John says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," that's heaven, "are many mansions, not dwelling places." If your Bible in John 14:2 says dwelling place, if it says apartments, if it says anything other than many mansions, would you do me a favor when this broadcast is over? Would you go to your recycling bin and would you throw that book, whatever that book is, if it doesn't say many mansions in John 14:2, would you throw that book into the recycling bin? And then I want you to go to BibleBeliever.com and I want you to find the link that says free, and we're going to replace your Bible and we're going to give you a good one, a Ruckman Reference $25 study Bible. No strings, no gimmicks. Just go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the free link. It's right at the top in the navigation bar. I want you to click where it says free and order a brand new King James Study Bible, and we will send it. That's part of our free Bible and Gospel Tract program, and we'll send it to you anywhere in the world that we can ship to you through FedEx or the post office. But if your Bible doesn't say many mansions in John 14:2, you need to chuck it, and we will replace it at no charge. Just go to BibleBeliever.com and order your brand new Bible. John 14:2, in my Father's house, heaven, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Why do you think that when Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and he came into this world, and right up to the moment that he started his earthly ministry, he was a carpenter? Have you ever had the honor or the amazing blessing to actually build your own house? Now, I have never had that privilege. I am thinking at this point in my life, I'm probably going to have to wait until New Jerusalem to get my mansion, and that is totally fine with me. But I have friends. I have friends who have built their own home. And I can't even begin to imagine what that must feel like, but that must feel pretty good. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. If you're going to build your own home, you need an architect. Oh, this is good. This is good. If you're going to build your own home, amen, Lord, amen. If you're going to build your own home, you got to go to the architect. And then the architect's got to make some blueprints. Oh, man, this is good. And then the blueprints have to be given to the carpenter. And then the home's got to be built for you. Amen. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. Can I tell you that God the Father is the architect? He's the author. Can I tell you that the architect, well, he made some blueprints. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And can I tell you that those blueprints were given to his son, the carpenter? Man, that's good. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, and he went, Acts chapter 1, and prepare a place for you, that carpenter, Jesus of Nazareth, he's been preparing that place for 2,000 years. And he says, I will come again, Titus 2:13, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now we got to the preaching part. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The architect, well, he made some blueprints. And he gave them to his son, the carpenter. And he said, son, why don't you go and prepare a home for your bride? Man, that's good. That is so good. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus says, and if I go, he went. Acts chapter 1, read it for yourself. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Jesus says in John 14, for if I go, I will come again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, he's coming again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Not the trumpet, the trump. Not Donald Trump. A trump is the sound that a trumpet makes. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now go back to John chapter 14. Go back to John chapter 14. Do you see it? Tell me that you can see this. In my Father's house are many mansions. The Father is the architect. The blueprints is the Bible. Jesus is the carpenter. And he's building a home for me and for you. And he says, I'm going to come get you when the time is right. When the Father says, son, go get your bride. But first, you got to build a home. You got to build a home. Revelation 21, let's go there now. Man, I'm all charged up. Revelation 21, 1. Now you're going to see what this really means. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Paul says, Galatians 4:26, but the Jerusalem which is above. Above what? Above everything. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. It is not the bride, but it is prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. The reason why John says that New Jerusalem, the many mansions from John 14:2, the reason why the Bible says that New Jerusalem is prepared as a bride, because that is where the bride is going to live. Do you think that Jesus was just, I don't know, just talking in John 14, just chatting? Do you think Jesus was saying, let me just give him some razzle-dazzle, some smoke and mirrors? Don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to go to my Father's house, many mansions. Do you think that was just talk? If you believe the Bible, then you believe that from Acts chapter 1 to right now, Jesus has been preparing the many mansions, because he's a carpenter who received the blueprints from the architect. Sometimes you hear people saying that the rapture will take place when the last person gets saved. And maybe there's some truth to that. But there's a whole lot more truth to the idea that the rapture will take place when the New Jerusalem is completed. That's much more likely. Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God the architect out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the carpenter. Paul says that he wants to present us to the Lord as a chaste virgin, right? Are you starting to see what New Jerusalem is? In Genesis, the first time that we read about a mother the very first time that we read about anybody's mother, it is children who are leaving. And the very last time that we read about anybody's mother, which is New Jerusalem, according to Galatians 4:26, those children have come back. But they're not coming back to the Virgin Mary. They're not coming back to some mythical pagan mother. They're coming back to the New Jerusalem that the carpenter has built from the blueprints that the architect gave to him. That's what New Jerusalem is. And now do you see why the Apostle Paul calls New Jerusalem our mother? Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Song of Solomon 2, 10 through 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And I, John, saw the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the carpenter. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Maybe you're missing your mom today. I miss my mom every day. Maybe you're a mom and you don't have a good relationship with your kids and you're missing their company. Maybe you're a child and you're estranged from your mother. It's heartbreaking. If you want to know what real heartbreak is, it's not when somebody breaks up with you. It's not when your car is smashed or your house is burned down. There is no heartbreak on the face of this earth like the heartbreak that you can feel between a parent and a child. There is something about when you are somebody's parent, that child has the ability to break your heart on a level that nothing else can remotely compare to. And we live in a day and age where many mothers are estranged from their children, and many children are estranged from their mothers. And it's sad, and it makes you cry. My mom, I had a great relationship with my mother, but she went home to be with the Lord on April 7th of 1998. Man, that's a long time ago, and I miss her every day. I think about my mother just about every day. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. This is the way that God gave to Adam and Eve back in the garden. He gave everything to them freely, and he gave them dominion over the earth and the animals and the foliage. And then sin came into the world, and for the past 6,000 years it's been a freak show, and it gets worse by the day. And we talk about these things on our Prophecy News podcast that we do. But the day is coming when God is going to wipe away all tears from your eyes. Don't think of it like people in general. Think of it. Think about what you cry over and what breaks your heart. Do you realize that God says, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Genesis and Revelation." And he says, "I will give unto him that is athirst." Are you thirsty today? If you're lost, if you're not saved today, do you thirst for a world where there is no crying, there is no tears, there is no sorrow, there is no death, there is no heartbreak? I bet if you're not saved today, you can't even imagine that such a place could ever exist if you look around this world for 5 minutes. But this is exactly what God offers you. And it's free. You know, the Bible says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Well, don't you think that it would be the right thing to do if you were Almighty God and you knew everything and you could do anything and you could speak stuff into existence and you live forever and you were never sick? Don't you think that the only right thing to do would be just to give all those things for free to your human creation down on the ground? We can't even begin to approach God the Father. We can't even begin to understand the Trinity. But it seems to me that if God was truly righteous, and He is, but it seems to me that if God was truly righteous, and He would have pity on my sinful condition, that He would just reach down and offer Himself to me for free. Because I don't have any money. I don't have any good works. I don't have any good deeds. I can't pay. So, if God was righteous, then a righteous God would give me those things for free. Man, that's good. Because He gave it for free. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For by grace through faith are ye saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The free gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. God did do that. And not only that, he said, "I will take your sins on me in my own body, and I will pay the price for you that you can't pay." When we preach on the streets, I always like to say, as the people pass by, Jesus Christ paid a debt that he did not owe, because I have a debt that I cannot pay. And if God was righteous, he would give all this to me for free. And that's exactly what he did. 31 years ago, he said, "Do you want my son?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." And I bowed my knees and I bowed my head and I said, "God, save me for Jesus' sake." And if you're lost today, why don't you do the same thing? Why don't you say, "God, I confess you as Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. I confess you, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Save me for Jesus' sake. Amen." And if you're saved today, why don't you let what you're hearing today in this message this morning? I've already cried 3 times through this message. And much of what I'm telling you, God, this is fresh manna that God gave me since this program started. I didn't have that idea of the architect and the blueprints and the carpenter. That wasn't a thought in my head. But I prayed and said, God, give me the message that you would have me have. And a bunch of what I'm telling you right now, God gave me in real time in this message. Why don't you let yourself get fired up today? Why don't you start to think about the lost people in your life? And I'm glad that we have a prayer list. And I'm glad that we pray for over 100 people on that list to get saved. But all the prayer in the world does not take the place of you putting gospel tracts in your pocket and you going to those people in your life, handing them a gospel tract. Can I tell you about Jesus Christ? I bought a new pair of sunglasses yesterday because my old pair got a crack in the lens. And I bought a new pair of sunglasses yesterday at the sunglass store. And it was a big Mother's Day sale. I got 30% off. I saved like $90. It was great. And the two kids behind the counter, they looked like they were as lost as two people could possibly be. The one was about 22 and the other one was about 19. And they both looked like they lived an alternate lifestyle of some kind. And as the young man was waiting on me and wrapping up my purchase, when it was all done, he handed me the bag and he said, enjoy these sunglasses. I said, thank you, I will. I reached in my pocket and handed him an NTEB gospel tract. And I said, I want you to read this because it's going to talk about your soul. And as soon as I said that word soul, his eyes got big. And he looked over at his lost friend, and they didn't know what to say. And then a little while later, I was getting a cup of coffee through the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru, and everything has gone up, everything's more expensive. Cup of coffee is now $2.23. And I got a cup of coffee, and I reached in my wallet, I found a $5 bill, and she handed me the cup of coffee. I gave her the $5. She went to give me the change back. And I said, no, you put that change into your tip cup. And she said, wow, really? And then I said, yeah. And I want you to read this gospel tract because it's going to talk to you about your soul. That only took me about 3.5 seconds, maybe 5 seconds. And maybe that's the only gospel that girl or that man at the sunglass store is ever going to hear. But let me tell you something, Christian. You and I have received of the fountain of the water of life freely. You and I have a Savior who is making for us mansions in New Jerusalem. You and I are going to be with Him for all eternity. And He is going to take away death, sorrow, and crying, and pain. And He is going to give us the good things that we will inherit from the Father. Don't you want as many people to be with you as possible? If you're saved today, and I believe in praying for saved people just as much as praying for lost people, when we preach on the streets, my message is going to save people just as much as it's going to lost people. And I believe that the primary focus of any Christian ministry should be putting the gospel and Bibles into the hands of lost people. But that's not the only thing that we're called to do. There's a whole lot to the Bible outside of salvation. And once you get saved, Paul said this, and I'll close with this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said this, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He's talking to you, Christian. Not talking to pastors. Not talking to evangelists and Sunday school teachers only. If you're saved, 2 Timothy 4:2 is to you. Doesn't he say, I charge thee therefore before God? Well, Paul's giving us a charge. And Paul says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, because of that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul starts with a charge to Christians to preach the word. That's the good fight. That's the course. That's keeping the faith. And when you've done that, then you get a crown. Then you get to go in the rapture. Then, after you become born again and God gives you that charge, that's how you get that crown. There's an architect. That's God the Father. There's a bunch of blueprints. That's Genesis to Revelation. And there's a carpenter who's been making you a mansion for the last 2,000 years. The Bible says that New Jerusalem, which is that mansion from John 14, the Bible says that New Jerusalem is adorned as a bride, because that is where the bride, me and you, is going to live for all eternity. That's our mother. And that's where we're going to be forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here. God, I thank you so much for this message that you laid on my heart today. I thank you, Father God, for the fresh manna that you dumped on me in the midst of the message. I love when you do that. And I just pray, God, that if there be one listening who is lost today, that something was said and done to lead that lost soul to you. I pray, Father God, that for those of us that are saved, I pray that something was said and done that would get us on fire for the Lord. And I just got a message from Tony Barsina. We were praying for him earlier. Tony says, I just wanted to reach out and let you know how your prayers have helped me in my salvation. I truly feel a purpose in my life for the first time in years. It's amazing. I should have gotten saved years ago. Well, amen, but so glad you did, brother. Tony says, I still have cravings for the alcohol, but now have the tools to overcome. He says, praise the Lord and thank you to my NTEB family. Father God, we lift up people like Tony to you. Lord, I have been where he is right now. And I know firsthand, and I can testify that you, God, are able to deliver. God, you delivered me. Filthy, dirty, rotten, drunk. And you cleaned me up, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And God, we pray that you would do what you did for me and countless others, that you would do it right now for Tony Barsina, Lord, and for anybody else. Anybody else who is struggling with addiction of any kind. Father God, I'm so glad and I'm so grateful that you took the curse of alcohol off of me. And Lord, there was that day where I thought that that would never go. And to my shame, and I have no problem admitting it, but to my shame, I struggled with alcohol long after I got saved. But But Father God, there came a day, a number of years ago, when you took it off me for the last time. And Lord, I would rather die, literally, than touch another drop of alcohol ever again. But God, there are tears flowing out of my face right now in gratitude to you for delivering me finally from alcohol, so I understand what that struggle is like. I understand. And Lord, we just lift up Tony and anybody else who's struggling. Lord, you saved Tony. He prayed to get saved last month. And I believe 100% that his prayer for salvation was true and sincere and genuine. And you saved him that day, Lord. Now deliver him from alcohol, just the same way that you delivered me, God. And we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Well, whew, I hope that this message was a blessing for you today. And if your earthly mother is still alive, maybe you are estranged from her, or maybe you are an earthly mother and you're estranged from your children. If it be at all possible, why don't you bury the hatchet? And just go, man, I'd give anything to be with my mother one more time. If it's at all possible to reconcile, why don't you go and do that today? And if you don't have a mother, if your mother has already gone on, like my mother has, we have a mother, New Jerusalem, where there's going to be no tears, no crying, no pain, no death, no sorrow. And it's going to be really, really good. It's going to be our happy ending. The architect, he wrote some blueprints called the Bible, and he gave them to the carpenter, his son. And he's been building a mansion for me and you for the last 2,000 years. And when the last nail, the last board, the last gold, silver, and bit of precious stone is applied, the architect is going to say to his son, the carpenter, put those blueprints in your back pocket, put down the hammer, and go get your bride. Amen. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you so much for being part of the NTEB family. There's nothing in my life, there is nothing on this earth like my NTEB family across America and around the world, and I am so glad and grateful for you guys. And it's my prayer that the Lord will continue to do great and mighty things with us together as a church family. Have a great Mother's Day, everybody, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern time for another Prophecy News podcast. Happy Mother's Day.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call, and at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out. The dead in Christ shall rise.
As I look around, I see prophecies fulfilling. The signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on clouds to call his children, but then his Christ shall
the midnight cry.